All right, welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. I'm going to make this simple because that's what we're going to try to do. We're trying going forward to sweep away all of that cacophony of chaos and confusion, the Surkoff theater. So the Alien and Sedition Acts, Jefferson's view, from his draft of the Kentucky Resolutions, 1798 Kentucky and Virginia Resolutions, what did he say? Well, Thomas Jefferson wrote this: "It would be a dangerous delusion," and again, we forget history. Would that we could recall it, that we would retain it, as Santayana said. Where is the "we are retention" movement? Anyway, "it would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights." Listen carefully, because it is astonishing how far we've come, how far we have come. "It would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights." And while I read this, I think of Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. Maybe Chapter 9, Safety and Security, and Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. Continuing, Jefferson wrote, "So it would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice," "let alone the men not of our choice, to silence our fears for the safety of our rights. That confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism," the kind James Madison pronounced the very definition of tyranny. "Free government is founded in jealousy and not in confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitution to bind down those whom we are obliged to trust with power," Jefferson wrote. "That our constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which and no further our confidence may go, and let the honest advocate of confidence in whomever, Donald Trump, for example, let the honest advocate of confidence read the Alien and Sedition Acts," we'll come back to that in a second, "and say if the Constitution has not been wise in fixing limits to the government it created, and whether we should be wise in destroying those limits. Let him say what the government is, if it be not a tyranny, which the men of our choice have conferred on the president, and the president of our choice has assented to and accepted over the friendly strangers to whom the mild spirit of our country," well, before the National Security Establishment, the NME, the National Security Act of 1947 et al., "the mild spirit of our country and its laws has pledged hospitality and protection, that the men of our choice have more respected the bare suspicions of the president than the solid rights of innocence, the claims of justification, the sacred force of truth, and the forms and substance of law and justice. In questions of power, then, let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution." Bind whom down? The limited powers delegated to government by the Constitution versus the rights of the people, the inalienable rights of the people enumerated, in other words, including but not limited to, that are outlined in the Declaration or the Bill of Rights. It's a stark contrast. So let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. Bind down whom? Which man? Well, the men of our choice, whom we are obliged to trust with power, as Jefferson points out. So he says, let the honest advocate of confidence read the Alien and Sedition Acts. Well, we don't have time for that now, but we'll just go to the sanitized, whitewashed version of history, Wikipedia, for more on that. So from Wikipedia, gosh, tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. Astonishing how history repeats when we don't heed the warnings and the lessons. The Alien and Sedition Acts, from the, this is Alien and Sedition Acts Wikipedia entry, the Alien and Sedition Acts were four bills passed by the Federalist-dominated 5th United States Congress and signed into law by President John Adams in 1798. They made it, listen carefully, tell me if this doesn't sound shockingly familiar. They made it harder for an immigrant to become a citizen, Naturalization Act parenthetically, allowed the president to imprison and deport non-citizens who were deemed dangerous, parenthetically, Alien Friends Act of 1798, or who were from a hostile nation, Alien Enemy Act of 1798, parenthetically, and criminalized making false statements that were critical of the federal government, Sedition Act of 1798, parenthetically. So doesn't that, I mean, there is a strong correlation to the Trump administration, and, you know, not just the Trump administration, but, you know, this is where we are now. Doesn't, is it me, or is there a strong correlation? So that calls to mind Naomi Wolf's book, The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot. It calls to mind, you know, Santayana's warning, de Tocqueville's contrast from then to now. Again, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, chapters 9 and 10, particularly chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. And I'd just leave it at that. This is not a surprise. That's the point. You know, we've been here before. This is not a surprise. And Thomas Jefferson basically laid it out as succinctly and comprehensively as I think could be, as is often the case with his words, one of the greatest statesmen that ever lived, certainly in American history. So, you know, would that we would observe the lessons of history. The danger, of course, is that we have contracted an intentional case of amnesia, which is very unfortunate. Anyway, back to the, you know, Washington Post, how states with loose oversight export crime guns nationwide. And, you know, the broader arms trafficking scandal that passes from administration to administration, gun walking all over the place. It's not just Mexico. It's all over the world. I'm surprised that that's only gotten Cheryl Atkinson's computer raided, and she hasn't, you know, her car hasn't exploded before it crashed, engine 200 feet behind the car, or, you know, car bomb in some foreign country or something like that. I'm glad that hasn't happened. I think that's very fortunate. But, you know, anyway, not to get off too far on that, but, you know, speaking of that clip that we played, and most recently, you know, speaking of this story, you have in the news these days, Brian Terry's brother. I mean, Fast and Furious is back in the news. The Trump administration is supposedly going to, you know, Trump DOJ going to release Fast and Furious documents that the Obama administration buried. Eric Holder played an integral role in that. So now Brian Terry's brother, Kent, is in the headlines once again talking about how, well, he was the one who made the appeal, allegedly. This was part, you know, as the story goes, that was part of what happened that sort of pushed this forward. Kent Terry, Brian's brother, appealed to the Trump administration to release the documents essentially occluded by the Obama administration. And now that's happening. But it's interesting, you know, some folks are saying, you know, that the era of Eric Holder is about to be put on Front Street. And I say, let's hope so. But then we've heard these kinds of assurances before, and how quickly most forget. Again, this case of amnesia, you know, Exhibit A, I would say, is Cheryl Atkinson's October 11, 2011 CBS exclusive. That was before the clip we played, 2 years before. And her exclusive titled Gunwalking Subpoena for AG Holder Imminent. Well, that was almost 7 years ago, so we're still waiting for that imminent subpoena. But again, I digress. So interesting and unfortunate how we forget. So, you know, whatever happened to that in a goldfish world, an 8 second attention span goldfish world? Funny that, you know. And here we are back again, repeating history. And of course, no mention of Eric Holder in the Washington Post story either. No mention of Eric Holder or the, Century International Arms, the Michael Sukers, the Jean-Baptiste Kingeries. No mention of these folks. It's just the criminalizing of the average American. Meanwhile, the real criminals, the high-level criminals, instead of the – if there is any kind of sort of petty crime, the real criminals continue their enterprise. And they'll continue to hide it by degrees of separation, like layers of the onion. You know, again, that gets back to that pivotal moment in 2004 when Kofor Black and Enrique Rick Prado said, hey – maybe we should leave the company and start our own offshoot of the company so that agency land can use our assets as proxies without any connection back to the agencies. How fantastic. And then just a few short years later, you have R.J. Hillhouse and Tim Sherrock writing about how the intelligence community is predominantly outsourced. In 2007, they were writing about that. And then, you know, you have all of that sort of nonsense. Anyway. And fast forward 10 years later, where are we now? Any better? Any worse? It's far worse. And we've forgotten these lessons of history. It's almost as if just putting the stories out is normalizing it. And there's never any accountability. You read these stories, you know, Daryl Issa's back in the headlines with regard to Fast and Furious. He's the controlled and managed opposition. He's kind of the management agent of the story, and there's always outrage. I think If I saw anybody that I think wasn't, I think it's Chuck Grassley. He's always writing these letters, always saying, hey, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? I don't think he gets enough airtime. Chuck Grassley asks the good questions, and if we followed up on his questions, we'd get somewhere. But so no mention of Eric Holder, of course, and conveniently there's no mention, like I said, of, Century International Arms, CIA, a company with CIA arms trafficking ties stemming from Iran-Contra to the November 2015 Paris incident and beyond. No mention of Michael Sukar and the Sukar family, Century International Arms. No mention of Jean-Baptiste Kingery or, you know, these kinds of figures. But I digress. So, real quick, time for some antidote to all of this nonsense, at least some of this madness. And before I mention these, before we play some clips, I fully acknowledge it's nearly impossible to find anything with any significant circulation in mainstream channels that doesn't in some way, shape, or form represent, constitute, or amount to post-truth, agitprop, controlled opposition. It's as if we've all sort of become functionaries of of that, or at least folks in mainstream channels. It's almost like it's an edict, or it's a prerequisite for working at most of these outlets. But, you know, that notwithstanding, let's see, first entry. Want to throw this in real quick. I think we have time. So, first entry is Fox and Friends today, I think. The YouTube video, and I'm going to start to get away from playing YouTube clips. We're going to just go to the other stuff. We're going to soft boycott YouTube and Google and all of that nonsense. Anyway, cool. So here's this clip, Fox News. Comedian weighs in on beta male rise. Go ahead, please.
Of course, but are you ready for the rise of the beta male? Take a look at the latest cover of Hollywood Reporter showing the cast of HBO's Silicon Valley with the headline, quote, "The Triumph of the Beta Male."
So is this a harmless Hollywood profile piece, or does it say a lot more about the state of men in America?
We're getting reaction from comedian and blogger Chad Prather. Chad, thank you. You are a proud alpha male, I know. Your hand is in your own pocket.
Yeah.
What do you make of this?
My mind is blown on this thing. Can you believe this? I mean, where is culture going at this point? Why is there such a war on masculinity? There is. I mean, the worst thing you can be in America today is a white heterosexual Christian male. I mean, there's an all-out war on people. So I don't understand why there is just such a battle just to be masculine. Why is it? And then you're offensive if you are. I mean, I'm going to have people who are going to get on here. They're going to see the little segment that we put on Twitter or whatever, this, and they're going to say, oh, my gosh, it's a guy in a cowboy hat. What does he know? Well, tonight you'll probably eat meat, and a guy in a cowboy hat probably raised that cow. So, you know, it's just... It's okay to be a man.
Well, and being masculine doesn't mean you can't be a gentleman. When I first met you, when you came on set, I loved it. You shook my hand and you tipped your hat
just a
little bit. It was so cute. I'm married. You won't believe this. I'm married to a lumberjack, a professional lumberjack.
And he
happens to be a congressman. But I married him because he was a lumberjack. I don't think women really like that beta male thing. What's
they
up
don't.
With that?
You know what women like? They like men. They like men that are men and men that are confident in being men.
Yes.
And I'm giving you permission right now, America, be masculine. If you're a man, there's no misandry? We talk about misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
What is the word? Is it misandry where you have man haters?
Right.
These people that are so men can't speak their mind. They can't make jokes.
Good
word. They can't you know burp and scratch themselves. It's okay, boys. Scratch yourself.
Just not right now.
I'm not sure.
Not on Fox.
Now is this a taste of your Star Spangled Banner comedy tour that kicks off tonight?
So the comedy tour. People ask me all the time. They say, "Is it a political show?" It's not a political show. Obviously, I'm a conservative blogger and I do a lot of conservative comedy and humor, but things like that. It's a picture of what America's all about. It's things that we all go through. It's things that you can relate to. We do things in America that you don't do in third world countries. You don't do around. We take advantage of those things. And so, you know, like tonight, we're going to be in Richfield, Connecticut.
Then you're going to be in Fargo, and then you're going to Florida.
Yeah, and those are the next couple of months. I'm telling you, we're going to be in a city near you. The masculinity is going to be on display.
It's going to be toxic.
On stage.
Toxic.
It's going to be a healthy form of toxic.
Oh, good.
Exactly.
I like toxin generally.
Well.
When it's in that form.
All right. If you want to meet alpha males, go to
WatchChad.com.
Yeah. WatchChad.com.
We just did.
Com.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Chad, put it there.
Everyone. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
What a handshake.
Fun stuff. Oh, my goodness. So that's a little bit of antidote. You know, I mean, it feels like relief. It's a little refreshing. Instead of this oppressive, implicit, indirect, constant shouting that you shouldn't be, you know, boys being boys, boys liking to run around, you know, with little chrome pistols playing Lone Ranger. I know there are, you know, myriad of controversy there, but anyway, speaking of antidote, more antidote, on Wednesday, Tucker began his Men in America series, and this isn't meant to be, you know, this particular sort of or flavor of antidote, but It's fitting. So Tucker began his Men in America series, perhaps in requiem to the Marxist Women's History Month. And who better to weigh in than Jordan Peterson? Here's the Fox News clip, left's toxic masculinity label to blame for male crisis, question mark. Go ahead, please.
Professor at the University of Toronto. He's written a lot about the decline of modern men. We spoke to him recently. Jordan Peterson, thanks for joining us. We've got a long list of statistics that paint a pretty clear picture that boys seem to be falling behind relative to girls in the United States. Why do you think that is?
I think that that's partly a consequence of directed policy. So it's linked to the idea that there's something wrong with masculinity, and so that the expression of masculinity should be limited in all sorts of arbitrary ways. The fact that kids can't really play at schools anymore is a manifestation of that. The fact that male behavior is often diagnosed as attention deficit disordered, for example, is a manifestation of that. The elimination of competition as a valid form of human interaction, and the failure to recognize that competitive sports, for example, are deeply cooperative in their fundamental nature, as long as everyone is playing by the rules, obviously. So there's that's a large part of it.
So you're saying that there is an organized, not always explicit, but still organized attempt to de-emphasize masculinity or to punish masculinity. Why?
Because it's easy to mistake masculine competence for the tyranny that hypothetically drives the patriarchy. It's part of a ideological worldview that sees the entire history of mankind as the oppression of women by men, which is a dreadful way of looking at the world, a very pathological way of looking at the world. It's not like men and women always get along any more than men and men get along, or women and women for that matter. But fundamentally, human history is a cooperative enterprise, and men and women have lifted themselves out of the mire over millennia in their cooperative endeavor. And to describe that as centuries of the oppression of men by of women by men is an absolutely reprehensible ideological rewrite of history. And it's what's taught in the humanities and in much of the social sciences at universities, and increasingly in the public education system. It's taken as an unassailable fact.
And you're saying that this has bad consequences for the development of boys.
Well, how could you feel good about that? I mean, if you're made out to be a potential manifestation of rape culture, if you're part of toxic masculinity, if your competitive drive is regarded as part of a tyrannical impulse, if the heritage to which you belong is regarded as an oppressive patriarchy, then how in the world are you going to step forward with confidence and shoulder that what would you call it, that burden? Why wouldn't you just step aside and retreat, which is exactly what's happening?
But if men are so aggressive and bent on domination, on establishing a patriarchy, why have they stepped back and allowed this to happen?
Yeah, well, I guess that's a good question, isn't it? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if they are precisely allowing it to happen. It's very insidious, the ideological movement that's driving this, part of the radical left, I would say, is it's a very insidious movement. It's not an easy thing to resist, and a lot of it occurs, well, for example, it occurs in the school system increasingly. And it isn't clear what, they're not men that are reacting to that, that's boys. It's not clear what they're supposed to do about it. So
if you were to fight
an ideological battle.
It is hard. And finally, if you were to give parents of boys one piece of advice for how, in their small way, they can fight against this trend for the sake of their own boys, what would it be?
Well, I would say, first of all, encourage them. And I mean that most deeply, is that to encourage someone is to instill courage in them, to support their courage. And that doesn't mean protect them from what's dangerous. It means teach them how to be competent and teach them that they can rely on themselves to prevail, in even in the darkest of circumstances. That's part of it. Yes. I would say as well, more specifically, and this is specific advice for parents, if you have your children in a school and they talk about equity, and there's class, and they talk about equity, diversity, inclusivity, white privilege, systemic racism, any of that, you take your children out of the class. They're not being educated, they're being indoctrinated. And there's absolutely no excuse for it.
I agree with that completely. You might run out of schools pretty quickly, though, here in this country.
That would be just fine. The sooner the better.
Jordan Peterson, it's hard to express my gratitude to you for telling the truth as you do. Thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
That's a little dose of truth and reality, I would say. It's good stuff. So, you know, it's interesting the levels.
A former North Carolina.
The layers and levels at which we are subjected to the mindless Marxist rhetoric. And it's pretty obvious when you step back why, again, you know, the first story that I began with was the Rachel Dolezal story and the obvious, blatant, I mean, like flagrant hypocrisy of the prostitute press, so to speak, referring to Rachel Dolezal as a race faker. Isn't that hate speech? I mean, I'm kind of shocked, and yet I don't hear anyone really, again, in high-volume mainstream circles saying, hold on a second, isn't that hypocritical by today's misguided SJW standards? But, you know, facts, don't confuse me with the facts. Don't confuse me with logic or objectivity, because in a post-truth world, all I'm concerned about is the most persuasive argument and who can shout the loudest. And that's just not a recipe for long-term success. It's really not. I mean, if we're going to devolve into that, you look at some of the old talk shows, you know, the older Crossfires and going back even further than that, you know, the oh gosh, why can't I think of it? That's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, the old shows. I mean, it's as hotly contested as the debates were in those old shows, and, you know, as controversial as some of their discussions got for the time. And, you know, you think of Buckley and Vidal, that exchange kind of. But even that, even those were more civil and civilized than just the average reporting these days. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Second hour of today's Rogue Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, March 9th, 2018. Let's have a little bit of fun. It was the McLaughlin Group, of course, that I was thinking of. John McLaughlin and Dana Carvey's satirizing of John McLaughlin is priceless. It's priceless stuff, you know. But again, even the McLaughlin Group was more tame than just today's average reporting. And that was obviously on a continuum of the medium is the message. But I'm going to play a little clip of Dana Carvey and his priceless satirizing of John McLaughlin. Is that possible? Can we do that real fast?
From the nation's capital, the McLaughlin Group.
Issue number 5. What number am I thinking of? Pat Buchanan.
Geez, 82.
Wrong, Eleanor Cliff.
Is it between 1
Don't
and 100?
Don't get the issue.
40.
Wrong. More tone time.
212.
Wrong. Jacarino.
2.
Wrong. The correct answer is 134.
You didn't know your parents very well.
Wrong.
Wrong?
Wrong.
Right?
Wrong.
So that's, you know, Dana Carvey satirizing of the McLaughlin Group. But, you know, that sounds a lot like the real reporting. There's a YouTube clip titled The McLaughlin Group in 2 minutes. And it's kind of interesting, you know, for, I don't know, those who may not recall immediately what the McLaughlin Group actually sounded like. Here's a little snippet of actual McLaughlin Group discussion.
From Washington, the McLaughlin Group, the American original. For over two decades, the sharpest minds, best sources, hardest talk.
Problem. On a doomsday scale of 0 to 10, 0 meaning zero doom, 10 meaning absolute metaphysical doom, a total wipeout, annihilation, nothing remaining. How much doom does Hillary face in the November election?
The problem is pejorative term.
Even Democrats don't use it. They use progressive.
They tried to kill Obama that way. And Obama has never run as a liberal. Obama's never run as a liberal. He's not about to run as a liberal. He runs as a come-together candidate.
That's a fairly good example. But, you know, doesn't that kind of just sound like the general mainstream malaise that we're subjected to these days? That's kind of the cacophony that is found generally in so-called mainstream news. So, John McLaughlin, ahead of his time. Anyway, back to the points of the day, sort of, I suppose. Speaking of common sense antidotes to violence, it's the culture, stupid. It's the games, stupid, at least in part. Compare and contrast these stories. You know, speaking of contrasting stories, headlines like this AP story, Dr. Lewis Krauss commenting, the AP video on YouTube titled Psychiatrist, Video Game Focus, Red Herring, and Mashable jumping in on the bash Trump bandwagon, which again is good theater. I'm very suspicious of the WWF-styled, you know, ends of the spectrum being collided. But Mashable's article titled, The White House is Already Bungling Its Meeting About Video Games and Violence. And you compare that to clips like this next one. And we've played this before, but I think it bears repeating and it's the appearance of, oh gosh, what's his name? Psychologist Tom Kersting on Megyn Kelly on Today. And his intimation that, you know what? Again, we've forgotten the lessons of history. Weird. Very strange. Apparently, Skype isn't cooperating now, which is fun. Not. So I guess we'll wait on that since Skype doesn't want to cooperate. Anyway, I hope that's not a sign of something bad coming. So the YouTube video is titled Psychologist Florida Shooting Suspect Nicholas Cruz Showed Many, Many Warning Signs. And at the 6 minute 20 second mark, Tom Kersting says, there's also another piece. That's interesting. He talks about World War One, the average combat soldier, only 10% of combat soldiers able to or capable of pulling a trigger at point-blank range. And by Vietnam, 80% were. And the difference was the targets. Just the difference of a paper bullseye to the target that is the outline of a human figure, so a human silhouette, so to speak. You have that now. the interview last night of I forget his name too. Gentleman on the Ingram angle last night with Ben Shapiro and his book. Again, it escapes me at the moment, but that was a good segment too. A segment titled "Are Video Games Linked to Real World Violence?" I guess we'll table that for now. Very strange. Skype is misbehaving. So, are video games linked to real-world violence? You know, with these kids essentially training in first-person shooter kind of games, with the military, you know, the Pentagon and DARPA, it's a well-established, well-documented fact that we, again, seem to forget that the Pentagon and DARPA are collaborating, I would say colluding and conspiring, with video game manufacturers to make these video games. Is that ready? Is that possible? Can we play that?
There's another piece to this also that really will resonate. World War I, the average combat soldier, only 10% of combat soldiers were capable of pulling the trigger at point-blank range. By Vietnam, 80% were. And the difference was that the targets they used during World War I were paper bullseye targets, and the ones they used to train soldiers in Vietnam were human silhouettes. So think of the desensitization just from something as trivial as that. And now, look at the society we live in, with kids playing first shooter video games, being exposed to violent content all day long, mm-hmm. and think about how their mind is absorbing that, and perhaps that plays into why we're having these types of things happening.
I feel like it has to be an...
There you go. So there is that link. And speaking of the games, you know, again, DARPA, Department of Defense, Pentagon specifically, collaborating, so-called, but actually paying game manufacturers to create the sort of games that engineer what Henry Kissinger would refer to as cannon fodder. So the other video, or the other clip, Are Video Games Linked to Real World Violence, features Ben Shapiro and the gentleman I couldn't remember, Lieutenant Colonel, retired, David Grossman, author of Assassination Generation. If that clip is ready, let's play that too. All right, I got another link for that. So, you know, again, forgetting history. Well, Santiana, the consequences are potentially catastrophic. I just don't understand. Man. Well, I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand why suddenly Skype decides that it wants to, you know, not work, shall we say, conveniently. Okay. Here is our video games linked to real world violence. Go ahead.
President Trump hosted a meeting with video game makers and their critics at the White House today. He was busy. They're looking for ways to reduce youth violence following the Florida school shooting. And the president recently expressed shock at what young people are exposed to today.
The video games, the movies, the internet stuff is so violent. It's so incredible. I see it. I get to see things that you wouldn't be... You'd be amazed at. I have a young, very young son who I look at some of the things he's watching and I say, how is that possible? And this is what kids are watching.
Now let's discuss whether there is any link between violence on the screen and real violence with Ben Shapiro, editor-in-chief of The Daily Wire, and retired Army Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, who's authored books on the psychology of violence. Army Ranger, black belt, and everything. Okay, you win just on that score. It's great to have you both on. Let's start with you, David, because some of these games are really wild. I mean, they're pretty graphic, pretty gory. You know them, you know, Call of Duty. I don't do any of these, but
like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, they're simulated violence.
It's a criminal simulator, a murder simulator.
Yeah, Evan Ramsey, others like, you know, some of these other killers, Dylan Klebold, Eric Harris of Columbine, were steeped in these games, Adam Lanza.
The Norway killer trained on those. He said he trained on them. 69 dead on an island in Norway, and he spent a year training on video games to prepare himself for his crime. The killer at... in Florida, he spent 15 hours a day on violent video games. The most all-consuming, all-pervasive thing in this guy's life are these violent video games. And less than a year ago, the American Psychological Association made a definitive statement. There is a clear, unequivocal link between violent video games, violent behavior. Their blood pressure goes up, their heart rate goes up, violent actions go up. The data is persistent and clear across many different forms. You cannot deny it. It is overwhelming.
Ben Shapiro, I know you're skeptical about a link from video games.
Yes.
Millions and millions of people play these video games. I mean, girls aren't as into these video games, I'm sorry, as boys are. but I think if my sons had access to them, I'm sure they'd play them all the time. Because something about the boy's brain and these games. But why are you not worried about it?
Well, I mean, I'm not supremely worried about it just because the consumption of these violent video games has been going up continuously since the early 90s, and yet youth violence has been going down since the early 90s. The correlation actually doesn't fit. As far as individual instances, I mean, you can find patterns in very sporadic instances among virtually all data sets, but there's some pretty mixed data about this. It's true that the American Psychological Association recommends that parents not allow their kids to play these games. I wouldn't let my kids play these games because I think they're immoral, frankly, but that should really be up to parents. I'm not sure the government should be in the business of stepping in. In 2011, Justice Scalia, in a majority decision 5-4, found that it was actually unconstitutional for the state of California to regulate the capacity of parents to be able to get these video games for their kids, or even for kids to get them themselves without parental permission. He saw that as a content violation under the First Amendment.
Let's talk more about this. The assassinations that take place in the games.
You know, my book, Laura, Assassination Generation, we outlined the dissenting opinions in that case. There's much more to this situation that we need to understand. You know, Clarence Thomas and Stephen Breyer, the most liberal, most conservative
Breyer.
Justice,
mm-hmm.
dissented. Stephen Breyer said they use these to train military. I'm not a medical expert, but I know who is, and it's not the people the video game industry put out. You need to know more about that case. The data is so overwhelming. And when I was a kid, nobody buckled their seatbelt. We're all just fine. Not everybody with their seatbelt unbuckled died, but all the ones that died had their seatbelt.
So are you saying kids who have predispositions to this, maybe they have a trigger inside of them, they steep themselves in this violence?
You add one more into it. A great book, Inside the Mind of a Teen Killer. The new factor in every single case, the new factor. The fact that violent crime is down is not true.
In
the
last, are they using these in Army Ranger training? Do they do video simulation now?
But we do it with law enforcement and military training. We use simulators. You don't see it in Ranger School, but you see it as an integral part of our training. To make killing a conditioned response is part of modern training. We've got to do it. Healthy people have to be trained to kill, and the video games do the same thing to the kids.
And, Ben, what I always think about this is, you know, science or not, for young children to continually see images of heads exploding, chests opening up, you talked about the immorality of all of this. Whether it's constitutional or not constitutional, maybe as a society we have to talk about what numbing ourselves to this very graphic violence. It's not like cartoon. This looks like a real person's head exploding. And it's over and over and over again. And you're doing it 10 hours a day and you're playing with people in other countries. That's where you're getting your stimulation. And that's, boys need to be outside playing. They need to be doing physical stuff. Instead, they're sitting there on these screens all day. I just don't see how any of that's good.
I fully agree with all of that. I just think there's a question of parental authority, and I think it's a question of how we as a society choose to raise our kids, not necessarily a question of governmental regulation. And the problem I have with the president getting involved is whether this is going to be a cultural issue or is this a regulatory issue? Is this an issue where the president tries to promulgate some sort of legislative response or where we're supposed to think that the government is going to step in and fix all of this? Because, again, I'm not sure that the statistics match up in terms of just public policy, but I think we're all in agreement that we'd all prefer that kids play less of this, and we have a pretty robust robust rating system on video games as well. I hope it gets more robust, and I hope more parents take responsibility for the crap their kids are putting in their system.
You know, the Adam Lanza, who had such an empty look in his face, he obviously had severe mental problems
as well. We have laws protecting our kids from guns and tobacco and alcohol and pornography, sex, automobiles, firearms, and all those other areas. They wouldn't buckle their baby in their car seat if it wasn't the law. It's not a good
high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked.
Hey, are you there?
Through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last...
Betraying to kill, and the video games do the same thing to the kids.
And Ben, what I always think about this is, you know,
that's the operative, I think, clip. That's one of the key sound bites, you know, in the takeaway of what retired Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman said. Healthy people have to be trained to kill. It's not normal. It's not healthy. So the point here, and I'll talk about this more next week, there's obviously more to the story, but in a society that cybernetically engineers mentally and psychologically injured and disturbed people, it's no surprise to see the subject matter articles trend in recent years from headlines like "The Sociopath in the Office Next Door" to "Inside the Mind of a Workplace Sociopath" to "16 Signs You're Working with a Sociopath," and parenthetically the title adds how to protect yourself, to the disturbing link between psychopathy and leadership, to Wednesday's New York Post article titled "How to Tell If Your Child is a Future Psychopath," complete with a picture of Manchurian Patsy Nicholas Oswald Cruz. How lovely. Bertrand Russell was apparently prophetic. Diet injections and injunctions indeed do combine from a very early age in America today to produce the sort of character and sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be has, it seems, become entirely psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all believe themselves happy because the government tells them they are so. It's a very unfortunate, tragic and unfortunate situation we find ourselves in. I'm going to recap some of the trauma that we incur in this society. I need to circle back around also next week and touch on, I think, some more about the connections. You know, speaking of Castaway and some of the Darul Uloom, Florida, you know, Deobandi, Pakistani intelligence community connections, those kinds of things, the color revolution stuff, it all is obviously the same story, but we'll try to boil that down. You know, Serbian terrorist Serge Popovic's canvas being used all over the world, you know, that raised fist that we see the women's marchers who have a Farrakhan problem, according to The Atlantic and others. That raised fist. Anyway, that'll just about do it for today's broadcast. And there's more, you know, getting back to when I guest hosted the National Intel Report on Wednesday, Fred in Michigan's comments, I believe it was. Going back to the money powers, you know, again, from John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law forward to Sheriff Ozzie Knezevich's remarks on what is going on. You know, he said basically the same thing, some of the clips that we played. You know, what is the problem? How did we get here? When we were growing up, we had guns. It took a decade without a significant rise in population and crime reduction from the 70s to now. It took a decade from 1982 to 1992 to amass the number of mass shooting incidents that we've seen just in the 13 months of the Trump administration. So, and that's by the Mother Jones database count. So something is clearly wrong, and it's interesting that people aren't curious. There's a strange lack of curiosity with regard to that fact, as far as the trend toward psychopathy in this society. And really, it's an engineered trend, obviously. Again, difficult to argue that effectively. Anyway, that's it for today's broadcast. There are a number of headlines that I suppose we could cover, but we'll leave it at that. Hopefully it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. I hope you have a great weekend. I'm going to try to throw some extensive show notes up in the archives for anyone interested, so look for that. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
This is RBN.